Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace and Chag Sameach, because we are in the holiday of Shavuot, Pentecost, and oh my goodness, I'm excited. I feel the joy of the Lord. Today I'm going to be doing a telephone interview with Justin Krohn, a nice messianic believer in Yeshua, and God is using him in so many incredible, fascinating ways. And somebody's going to win a coupon for bagels. Stay with me and I'll be right back. That is the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sittel. And I want to tell you that Shemai Yisrael is the main sponsor of this radio program because Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shemai Yisrael. And we're located at 1326 North Winton Road. And we have services every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And if you're at Shemai Yisrael, you'll see that we have a fantastic bookstore and gift shop called The Fig Tree. The Fig Tree is open every Saturday around noon and also on Thursdays from 3 to 7. And you can get CDs and prayer shawls and jumbo shofars, books about sharing Messiah, cards, and jewelry. And if you are listening to Bagels and Blessings and you're in the Buffalo, Lockport, or Medina area, maybe you love messianic music, you might really enjoy attending Congregation Brith Hadashah. They meet every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. and they're at 50 Alberta Drive in Amherst, New York. And I want to thank Bagelland and Soho Bagel Cafe for donating coupons. And remember, and Balsam Bagels too. Yes, Balsam Bagels. Remember, somebody's going to win a coupon today, so please keep listening. Right now, we're going to open the floodgates with Greg Silverman.
Are full, they are heavy, about to pour on thankful hearts. We are devoted to being thankful, so let the flood of the blessings start. Pour out your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit.
Oh, of heaven.
Oh, yes. Lord, open up the floodgates of heaven. Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Yeshua that you would just pour out your blessings on everyone listening to this broadcast, to their friends, their families, to their children and their grandchildren. Pour out all your blessings. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. And you know, I have been on the air for almost 17 years. How is this possible? It's only possible through the donations of my sponsors and listeners like you. Now, maybe you've been listening to this program for all 17 years. If you want to help me out just a little tiny bit, in Yiddish, that would be a bissel. A small amount is a bissel. If you want to help me out a bissel, please go to bagelsandblessings.com and click on the donate button. You can give something right through PayPal. Any amount would be helpful to help me stay on the air. Another sponsor that's been helping is Pharaoh's Harem Salon and Spa. And this is a good season to start something new. Maybe you've just been thinking about getting a new hairdo for a really long time. Well, try Pharaoh's Harem Salon and Spa because they do your hair and they pamper you so much. I mean, they give you facials and massages and manicures and pedicures. They have two locations. One of them is in Packets Landing on the canal in Fairport. The number there is 223-5850. And then they have one on West Henrietta Road, and it would be south of Marketplace Mall. The number there would be 359-2249. How about we listen to some more music? This is Kathy Schuster. Every day, I will bless you. Bagels and Blessings is also supported by Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. They're at 23 Main Street in Scottsville. They service the whole Monroe County area and even further. Their number is 889-7840. If you need someone to come in and put central air conditioning in your home, they're the ones to call, 889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business, and they are just such good people. They love the Lord. Their prices are very fair, and you just really got to give them a call today, 889-7840. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. Well, we're talking about Shavuot. This is the holiday we're celebrating right now. And I'll tell you a little bit about it. There's so much information, I don't want to talk too much. But I will tell you that on the Jewish calendar, Shavuot, or Shavuos, as some Jewish people say, it marks the conclusion of a seven-week period known as Sefirat HaOmer, the counting of the Omer. I know, maybe you never heard of that before. Well, beginning on the second day of Passover, we're actually commanded to count 49 days leading up to Shavuot. And that's in Leviticus 23:15. And it's an exciting holiday. We celebrate the giving of the law on Sinai, and later we celebrate Pentecost, where the Spirit came, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh came. One of the most exciting things to read about is in Acts chapter 2. They had gathered to celebrate Shavuot, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came. They began to speak in different languages. And it was just such an exciting, exciting time. And I have some information here, and it says, the presence of God on that day was attended with great supernatural events. The mountains shook violently. The ram's horn blew louder and louder. There were flashes of lightning. Smoke rose upon the mountain, and God spoke in the thunder. And we celebrate, okay, so we celebrate the law, and we celebrate the receiving of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. God's presence dwells in us. Hallelujah. It is so, so very, very exciting. Shavuot. And I'll be having a question about Shavuot coming up in just a few minutes. But right now, let's be reminded that we are to be filled up with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me up. Here's Sue Samuel.
I see your beauty and I hear your song. I feel your power and I know your love. Fill me up, fill me up. My heart can't be filled enough. Fill me up, fill my cup. Lord, pour out
Oh, yes. What a beautiful song sung by a sweet sister in the Lord. That's Sue Samuel. It's from her CD, Songs from the Secret Place. If you like these CDs that you're hearing, if you like this music, you know, you can go to the Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop. They have just about every CD I play, they carry in the store. Just saying, if you want to go get some for yourself. Wow. How about we hear from one of my sponsors, Odell Family Chiropractic.
Your back is a delicate matter. Everyday things can affect it.
This is the last time I'm picking your toys up off the floor. Oh boy, it just went out.
Major injuries can leave you in bed for days.
Look out!
It's called vertebral subluxation. It's what happens when your back is thrown out of its correct alignment. It causes major pains and in time may damage internal functions. That's why the first time you visit Odell Family Chiropractic, they will determine if x-rays of your spine are needed to pinpoint the exact problem. If they find that they can help you, they'll develop a care plan to allow the spine to achieve the correct position and strengthen it so that it will want to stay strong. They'll prove it to you. During your care with them, they'll show you x-rays of the progression your spine is making while moving into its correct alignment. Visit any of the four Odell Family Chiropractic locations today to receive a free preventative health evaluation. Call 671-9210. That's 671-9210. Say goodbye to back pain permanently.
And how about we say hello to Paul Wilbur? Let's take a little trip up the mountain right now. We're going to go up to the mountain. Woo!
Nations will be flowing to Zion when they see the house of the Lord, running to his peaceful kingdom, shouting they lay down their swords. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Spirit of burning, let your beautiful fruit shine forth. Then everyone who's left inside will be called holy forevermore. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Arise and shake the earth so mightily. Send your glory all across the land. Then everything that's proud and lofty will bow down before the Son of Man. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Over all the glory, there will be a covering. Cloud and smoke all through the day. Flaming fire all through the night. Tabernacle for the shade, shelter from the pouring rain. When the Lord is washed away, fill them the blood is a fire.
Paul Wilbur with Integrity Music, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Ethel Chadwick, you're listening to Bagels and Blessings. That fantastic song, Dancing on the Wings of the Wind, is by Zemer Lavov. It's from their CD, As Long as I Breathe. Now listen here, guys. You're going to have a chance to win a coupon for bagels in just a few minutes. Remember now, if you want to keep Ethel happy, show her the love. Get a call when you hear the song Give Me Bagels. You'll have a chance to win that coupon. So not yet, but soon you'll have a chance. And I want to hear those phones ringing off the hook because I know that you're out there. But right now, why don't we hear from Joel Chernoff on how you can be a blessing to Israel.
Shalom, Joel Chernoff here for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Did you know that God promised in Genesis 22:18 that through Israel, all of the nations would be blessed? An estimated 350 million people have type 2 diabetes. Fighting this disease is costly. However, Medicure in Central Israel has invented a device called the Diamond that will eliminate the need for drugs or injections. Once implanted, the Diamond enables the body to regulate glucose levels. What a priceless blessing from Israel this will be to millions of diabetics. This is Joel Chernoff for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Shalom.
Today, over 40% of Israelis live in poverty. We have an opportunity to return the blessing God has given us through Israel by becoming a part of God's prophesied restoration of Israel. To learn more, go to roiminute.com. That's roiminute.com.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shammai Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shammai Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shammai Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
Come on, baby, I need bagels.
Gimme bagels tonight.
All right, here's your chance to get a coupon for bagels. I'm talking about the holiday of Shavuot today. Can you tell me, what does Shavuot mean? Shavuot is a name in Hebrew, and I'd like to know the translation. What does Shavuot actually mean? Call 222-2990, and you can get a coupon for bagels if you haven't won anything in the last 30 days. And stay tuned for an interview with Justin Krohn in just a few minutes.
4 8 days I've been bagel-free. Wow. All that matzah is getting to me.
Wow.
No bread or leaven, they're sure in heaven.
Wow.
A little bagel's what I'm waiting for.
Bagel.
Give me lots of my garlic bagel.
Bagel.
Spread thickly too. It'll be the greatest. So give me bagels tonight. Work it out, baby, work it out. All that cream cheese and lots of spot, I got to have some now. When Pesach comes again next year, I'll go bagel free again, that's clear. The Torah tells me, and it compels me, and I obey Hashem in Him I fear. Give me lots of my garlic bagel, spread thickly too. It'll be the greatest. So give me bagels tonight.
All right, the good news for all you people that are phone shy, you don't have to go on the air, but call 222-2990. Let me know what Shavuot means, and you can get the coupon for bagels, because I have some really, really great news, and that's that I've got Justin Krohn standing by right now. He's a nice Jewish boy who loves Yeshua, and we're going to find out everything you've always wanted to know about him and more. Shalom, Justin! Welcome to Bagels and Blessings and Shabbat Shalom!
Shabbat Shalom, Ethel. Such a pleasure to be on with you today.
Oh, I'm so glad you were able to do this. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Did you grow up in a typical Jewish home, you know, et cetera, et cetera, bar mitzvah, all that good stuff?
Yeah. I had the privilege, I guess you could say, of growing up with a foot in both worlds, the Jewish world and the Christian world. My mother, her side of the family was Jewish. My father's side of the family was Catholic. I had the pleasure of really experiencing both sides, if you will. But my mother, she grew up in a conservative Jewish home, and she did what conservative Jewish people typically do, and that's show up to synagogue when it really counts. And when it really counts is during the high holidays of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because that's when the whole sin thing gets taken care of. And so she was also a good Jewish girl, and that she enjoyed fine Jewish delicacies like matzo ball soup and lox and bagels. So in fact, I think that when you're born 8 days later, the family gets together and they put out lox and bagels and matzo ball soup. And if you express any interest whatsoever in those foods, we know you're Jewish. You know, kind of the litmus test, right, for whether or not you're Jewish. It's a little bit more complicated for the boys, but we won't get into that. And so my mother grew up in a Jewish home, and she ended up going through a challenging season in her life when she got older, shortly after she had married my father. And she was working in the city of Chicago. She would take the train to work, and there was an African-American man by the name of Josh Wiggins, and he saw her almost every day, and just got this prompting from God, this nudge of God upon his heart, which said, you know, Josh, that white Jewish woman who you see deeply matters to me, and you've never looked into the eyes of someone who doesn't matter to me, and I want you to do what I've called you to do in this world, and that's be my hands and be my feet, be a vessel of grace and truth and mercy in this woman's life. So Josh stepped outside of his comfort zone, walked up to my mother with an extended hand and said, I know this is going to probably sound a little strange, but it just seems to me that you could use a friend. My mother was like, oh, that is pretty strange, but I could use some encouragement. I've been going through a tough time. And so Josh, over time, built a friendship with her, and he encouraged her to consider the messianic prophecies in the Hebrew scriptures and to see if Jesus might be the fulfillment of those prophecies in the Gospels. And my mother courageously took him up on the challenge, and she was utterly blown away by the evidence. Just couldn't believe how clear it was that Jesus was the fulfillment of these prophecies. And really, through the compassion that Josh expressed towards her, and of course, the truth of the scriptures, the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures, and the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, the New Testament, my mother came to embrace Yeshua, Jesus, as her Messiah, her leader, and forgiver.
Wow, that is truly amazing. Now, what happened when she told her family?
Well, that was a bit challenging, as you can imagine. My grandmother, when she first heard from my mother that she had become a follower of Yeshua, she said, but what about Hitler? But what about Hitler? And isn't it interesting that my grandmother would equate believing in Jesus with Hitler and the atrocities that the Nazis committed against the Jewish people. And, you know, there's a long story, of course, behind that with the history of Christian anti-Semitism and really the poor public relations policies, I guess you could say, that the Christian church had toward the Jewish people. But it was certainly challenging between my mother and her parents and some of the other family members. Fortunately, by God's grace, things have healed over the years. But it certainly, for a lot of Jewish people, can just seem to be like, how could you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? How can you become one of them? How could you become a Christian? How could you deny your Jewishness? But really, if you look at the scriptures, there's nothing more Jewish than believing in a Messiah. And if Jesus was the fulfillment of those prophecies, those expectations of the Hebrew prophets that were given to them by God about who the Messiah was supposed to be, then there truly is nothing more Jewish than believing in him. And I should let you know, too, that when I was just 8 years old, so just a few years after my mother came to faith, I had the privilege of being teamed up on by Josh and his wife Liz and their three daughters, Angie, Tasha, and Tina, who helped me understand that the most Jewish thing that any Jewish kid could do is embrace Jesus as Messiah, as I explained. And so for me, it's really been a journey over the last several 30-plus years now, where I've been learning to reconcile my Jesusness with my Jewishness, and realizing that I don't have to check my Jewishness at the door in order to be a follower of Yeshua.
I didn't realize that you were a second-generation believer, and I always find it interesting to talk with those that grew up in a Messianic home to begin with, or a believing home, because somewhere along the line, for you it was the age of 8, and I'm assuming you may or may not have had a time where you fell away and had to come back. I don't know. We haven't gotten there yet. But often what has to happen is that the young person has to come to the point where Yeshua is real to them, where he or she makes Yeshua their own, you know, his or her own. Because, you know, you've heard that expression over and over again, that, you know, being in a bakery doesn't make you a bagel any more than being in a believing home makes you a believer. And so whether it was the age of 8 or whether it was later on, but was there a time that you recall where, you know, this really became real for you and it wasn't just because you were living in a home where your mother was a believer?
Yes, great, great question.
Thank you.
that's very true of what happened to me. There was a point in high school where I really started wrestling with, is this just the faith of my mother that I've taken on, or does this belong to me? Do I really own this? And if I'm going to own it, then I really need to know, what is the basis for this faith? Is it real? Is it reliable? Does it stand up against the other religions, including Judaism, which, of course, as we know, does not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and other religions? I mean, how does it compare to Hinduism and Buddhism? And so I started studying and doing a little research, and I think to make a long story short on that, the thing that really convinced me that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was God in the flesh, that Jesus' words could be trusted, was the fact that he was the only person who in the history of the world ever overcame death, that he resurrected from the grave, and that fact in history, which if you were to look at how his disciples reacted to it, how even unbelievers at that time in the first century reacted to it, that there could be no other but Jesus who was the Messiah, who was the one who could, by his authority, redeem me, rescue me from my own sin. And here's the thing about Jesus. The thing about Jesus is Jesus. I mean, look at the guy. Look at how, what he taught, and look at how he lived. I mean, he is an incredibly compelling person, and he's the only one who ever conquered death, and because of that, so will I.
Okay, I believe what you're saying, but I'm wondering, when you're talking to a Jewish person that doesn't believe yet, don't they say to you, well, how do you know he rose from the dead? What do you say to that?
Yeah, well, I say, well, let's look at some of the evidence. You had people who were alive at that time who could have testified that, you know what, Jesus didn't resurrect from the grave, and we'll take you to his grave right now, okay? Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. For the Jewish leadership at that time, it was incredibly important to them that he be dead, because, you know, they saw him as a threat to their leadership. It was also incredibly important to the Romans that he be dead, because he was also a threat to their leadership. And so if he didn't die, or if he did come back from the grave, there would be plenty of people there to verify whether or not that happened. There's other interesting things, too. Like, for example, when we read in the gospel accounts that it was a woman, actually a couple of women, who are the ones who first testified that Jesus had resurrected from the grave. Now, back in the first century, nobody took a woman's word for it. Their testimony wouldn't even be considered in the court of law in the first century. So if it wasn't true, if Jesus really didn't resurrect from the grave, and this was just some big conspiracy that Jesus's early followers were trying to come up with, then why would they write in their record of what happened that it was women who first saw him? Nobody would have taken that seriously. So when you look at the evidence, when you looked at that there were several hundred people at a time who testified to seeing him alive, you just can't look at that and just throw that away. I mean, just as if somebody were to write about World War II today or the Vietnam War and say that, well, that never happened. That never happened. Well, then everybody else in the community would say, what do you mean that didn't happen? We can give you all this evidence that it did. So I just think that when you look at the historical record, that there is so much compelling evidence that Jesus actually resurrected from the grave, that it's foolish for us to say that he didn't.
Amen. Great answer. Well, your mama must be so very proud of you. You are involved in so many ministries and so many things and trips to Israel. And why don't you tell us a little bit about how God is using you today? I'm proud of you, and I just met you via Facebook.
Well, I appreciate that. You must be a good Jewish mother yourself.
I try.
Very good. Well, you know, I have the privilege of being able to help followers of Jesus get more connected with the roots and heritage of their faith. I was really compelled several years back after reading a book by Philip Yancey called The Jesus I Never Knew. If anybody listening has never read that book, I highly recommend it. It's one of my favorite all-time books on the person of Jesus. And he wrote, I can no more understand Jesus apart from his Jewishness any more than I can understand Gandhi apart from his Indianness. And he continues, and he says, if I really want to get to know Jesus, then I should get to know his story as I would anybody else's story and learn something of his culture, family, and background. And when I read that, I was like, wow, that makes so much sense. And then shortly after reading the book, I had the opportunity to visit the Holy Land, the homeland of Yeshua, Jesus, for the first time. And it was such a compelling experience to actually walk where he walked and to see these stories in the Bible just come to life. And I just thought, you know what, man, it would be just so good if other followers of Jesus could have a similar journey. And I went when I was in my 20s, and I thought, man, even better to go when you're younger than to go when you're older, like most of the other people were on my trip. I asked them, I said, you know, do you wish you could have gone here when you were my age? And they all said, oh, man, I really wish I could have, because then I would have had the benefit of that experience for the remaining years of my life. And I said, well, you know, I couldn't agree more. And so I threw up one of those prayers to God, like, God, if you ever want to use me to help encourage other young adults to come here, then I'm all in. And now I didn't know how that was going to come to fruition, but God took me up on the request. And a few years later, I started serving with an organization called Chosen People Ministries. And the president of that organization, Mitch Glazer, I told him a little bit about my experience in Israel. And he said, you know, I think it'd be great if you know, you led a trip for people your age. And I said, that's kind of funny you say that, because that was a prayer I threw up to God a few years ago. And so, boy, what, 15, 16 years ago now, I started a program called Experience Israel for 18 to 35-year-olds, where we not just go to walk where Jesus walked, but we go to serve where Jesus served. And so we spend some time with some of the wonderful Messianic and Israeli ministries over there and really helping out and rolling up our sleeves to be salt and light in the midst of darkness.
That's fantastic. I love it.
I love it, too. And if anybody listening has never made a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, I highly, highly recommend putting it on your bucket list. It is a life-changing experience. I don't just do trips now for young adults, but I also do trips for all ages. I got enough people over the age of 35 who started saying, hey, what about me? And I said, well, there's other trips for you, but hey, I'd be happy if you came with me too. So I started doing some trips for all ages and just thoroughly enjoy being able to guide people over really on the greatest spiritual retreat center on the face of the earth. So I do that. I also have the privilege of traveling around and teaching at different churches and getting to rub shoulders with other followers of Yeshua. And it's always a joy to see what God is doing in different parts of the body of Messiah and to help people, again, to really understand more of who Jesus is in his Jewish context. I think it's incredibly important for us to remember that Jesus was a rabbi and would have celebrated Jewish holidays, the biblical festivals, how beautifully he fulfills those festivals through his life and ministry. And it's just, Ethel, just such a joy to be able to minister and encourage people throughout the course of my ministry.
Amen. Just want to remind the listeners, this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings, and I'm speaking with Justin Crone right now. Justin, tell me a little bit about Kesher Forum. What's that?
Yeah, so the Kesher Forum is a local gathering that I do here in Chicago on a monthly basis, really designed to encourage people. It doesn't really matter where they're at on their spiritual journey, but most of the people who participate are already followers of Jesus, but to encourage them to engage with the roots of their faith and to learn more about modern Jewish culture. And really, the responsibility that we have as Jesus' followers to build redemptive, what I like to call build redemptive bridges with our Jewish friends and neighbors. We have a responsibility to love our neighbors, no matter who they are. And throughout history, the church has not been all that great at loving their Jewish neighbors. And so one of the core values of the Kesher Forum is that we would be a community, we would be a network of people who are serious about loving our Jewish neighbors. And so even on occasion, we'll have a rabbi come in, not a follower of Jesus, but still come in to teach us a little bit about, you know, their perspective on things. And sometimes we'll do Q&A with them and try to talk about some of the elephants in the room realize, you know, there's a lot that we have in agreement, but there's also things that we disagree about. But we're encouraged to love people with gentleness and respect. And so we really try to encourage interacting with those, even if they don't agree with what we agree with, to at least be loving, be neighborly, be kind, and considerate to those that we've been called to be loving neighbors to.
Sounds wonderful. I was reading your bio, and it says that you studied at Moody Theological Seminary. I'm wondering if you know my buddy, Michael Radelnik.
I sure do. We're very, very good friends. In fact, my wife, Judy, works for Moody Radio. And so we have a wonderful relationship, not only with Moody Bible Institute, but we also, of course, with Moody Radio and people like Mike Radelnik, who is just an incredible, incredible resource and such a wise man. If you haven't read his book on understanding the Arab Israeli conflict. We highly recommend reading that. He also has some other books, and it's such a pleasure to know him and his wife Eva, and grateful to have him here in the city of Chicago.
Sounds like another good contact for Bagels and Blessings.
Yes, I think so. I think so. He would be good to have on, so exciting to see how many followers of Yeshua there are today.
Oh, absolutely.
Certainly not as many as I would, like to see, but yet there's so many to think about who are embracing Yeshua as Messiah. You would think that it was an odd thing, but really it's not. I mean, Jesus was Jewish. The odd thing is when non-Jews embrace a Jewish rabbi, right?
Yes.
At least that's how they saw it back in the first century. And so my hope and prayer is that more and more Jewish people would do their homework and really, really investigate the claims of Yeshua.
And, yes.
And don't let somebody else do the work for you. Just go do it for yourself. Find the book, read the scriptures, and see where God leads. And I'm pretty confident it will lead to seeing Jesus as Messiah.
Yes, yes, yes. Tell me something, Justin. In your travels and as you speak and as you teach, have you had a lot of opportunity to lead those people who grew up Jewish to know Jesus as their Messiah?
No, I've had a few opportunities, not as many as I would like. Sometimes it's hard as you get around. You're only there for a short period of time. Most of them tend to be here in the Chicagoland area. And here's the interesting thing. Most of them tend to be those who have built a relationship with a Gentile Christian, a non-Jewish follower of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Who's just been loving them and planting seeds and encouraging them to consider who Jesus is. And then kind of how it works is, well, they know about this guy named Justin, and Justin's from a Jewish background. You should speak to him. And so I guess in some respects, I get to be the closer. There's always got to be an opening pitcher and a middle reliever, right? So,
yeah.
Oftentimes, I get to be the closer and help walk people across the line of faith, and it's always such a joy to see that happen. And again, it just makes sense. If Jesus really was the Messiah, as I believe he was, the one that the prophets foretold, the one that we've been looking for, then there's nothing more Jewish than believing him and embracing him. And again, it doesn't mean that you have to stop being Jewish. You don't have to stop practicing Jewish holidays and traditions. So many of those align directly with the heart of God and with the person of Jesus, that they really are an enhancement, if you will. And I am just grateful that I have the opportunity. Not so much, I'll say this, but I think it's important to say this. It's not that I follow Jesus because it makes me more Jewish. I follow Jesus because it makes me more like him. And that's really, at the end of the day, what's most important.
Is being
more like him. And is there any other person in this world that we would want to be more like than him?
Yes.
I mean, really, think about that. When you line up all the people who ever have lived, is there anyone you'd want to be more like?
No.
Than Jesus. Yeah.
So, that's great. Well, one quick question as we wind down. We've got about a minute left. I always love to ask this. Is there a way you'd like us to be praying for you or for your family? Any special prayer needs that you have at this time?
Well, most importantly for me right now is I've got a trip to Israel coming up, and it's always a bit challenging when I'm away for a couple of weeks, and then my wife Judy has to take care of things back at home. So always nice to know that she's covered in prayer, and also to know that I'm covered in prayer too, as I'm leading others to be the hands and feet of Yeshua, and to be a light in the midst of an area of this world that is desperately in need of peace, desperately in need of hope. It breaks my heart to see this perpetuating tension and conflict that exists between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And so we always want to be bridge builders there, and that takes certainly a lot of prayer to make a difference in that part of the world.
Yes, well, we will be praying for your trip and for your family while you're away. And what a lovely interview. I have thoroughly enjoyed talking with you on Bagels and Blessings today, and I hope that perhaps sometime in the future you'll come back on again and give me an update on what's going on with you.
Would love to. Thank you so much, Bill, for what you're doing, and may the blessings of our great, great God continue to watch over you and guide you.
Thank you so much. Lord bless you, and we'll talk soon. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Thank you, Justin. This is Ethel Chadwick, and now it's time for the Aaronic Benediction with Phil Klein.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha Yager Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying shalom alechem. Peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Next week, I will have a pre-recorded show on the air, but you are guaranteed to absolutely love it. I'll be back live in the studio in 2 weeks. Have a great week. Happy Shavuot. Shalom.